I had a poster of Happy Gilmore. It was huge. It was obnoxiously huge in my dorm when I was in college.
Wendy walks in. Oh, you like Adam Sandler? Yeah, I don't like him.
It's so weird. When I moved out after I met Wendy, it did not come with me. It's the strangest thing.
You're like, okay, I got to pack up. I'm going to pack the most important thing first.
Xbox, Adam Sandler, Happy Gilmore poster. Like, that was everything in the box. There was nothing else. All right, here we go. All right, welcome to the Goose Grace Calls. All the good names are taken. My name's Dan Amos.
And I'm Drew.
Gosh, you're supposed to match. Last time I went fancy, you went fancy.
Well, that's because you went fancy. Nice. You can't. Like, if you give me fancy.
I rolled in hot today. Yeah. I was like, ha!
Well, but the thing is, you can't. You can't not match fancy. Because if you not match fancy, you're just
uncultured.
You can't uncultured.
Unfancy? Is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
It's just uncultured. I'm like, uncultured.
Welcome to the Goose of Grace. And it's your Drew Meadows. What was that? Give me a sample of that accent you did.
It's your Drew Meadows.
Okay, I went as far off as I thought. That wasn't bad. My impersonation of Drew doing an impersonation is not terrible.
Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. What? Hit the heart and
sir,
hit that little bell.
This is on Podbean. This is on Spotify. Make sure you remix on Spotify. No, that's not how this works.
Make sure you hit that little bell.
Oh, man. All right. So welcome to the Goose of Grace. We are glad you're listening. If you're listening, if you're not, you're not going to hear this. So we don't care what you think. We're going to. So apparently last week, according to Drew and some other sources, I came in a little hot, came in a little rambunctious about the topic we
if
were covering.
If you were a plane, you nosedived.
But that means I was, no, but I'm speeding. Yeah, yeah, I like that. I was speeding toward disaster, possibly on fire at a high rate. Yeah, I like that. And people are screaming while not being able to stop it. So, yeah,
threw the whole on fire casually in there.
Yeah. Like. Oh, yeah. Anything I approach, I try to approach on fire. We're to be on fire for Christ. I'm just, you know, some
way to make that
it,
biblical.
Yeah, some approach it as passion. Some approach it as I live my life like a dumpster fire. So, you know, either way,
it's crazy.
Gotta be more specific.
It's crazy. I saw on the news the other day that there was a fire. There's a fire in the dumpster. I was trying to figure out if it was you or an actual dumpster.
No, but they do use my name to like sum it up. They're like, oh, we got a Dan over here. Oh man, it's just shorthand
for
dumpster fire.
Like 2 days after the dumpster fire, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we had to correct something. Apparently, it was not a dumpster. It was a man named Dan Amos. Yeah. He was the one on fire.
And he was perfectly fine. That's just how he chooses to exist.
His resting state is on fire.
That's my default. Oh, man. So last week we talked a little bit about, you know, the thoughts that are out there about, you know, creation versus evolution, all that mess. So to come into a nice calming topic, okay, today we're going to talk about the church community as it pertains to the internet, social media, online, all of that good stuff. And I'm sure it will be a very low-key, calm discussion.
And I think everyone knows where to find this in their Bible.
Where we,
because Jesus explicitly talks about online.
Just turn back to your index and look for online, Facebook, Insta, any of that.
The book of Hezekiah really hits on it, especially the last five chapters of Hezekiah.
Thou shalt like and describe. I mean, subscribe, not describe.
Describe.
You like. You're
describe
like,
what you just heard in three words or less.
This is what we want you to do: like it, and then go down to the comments and describe in short form.
And you cannot use the word fire, dumpster, or Dan.
And that's
or Mambo
that's actually
sauce.
How we get our video descriptions. We don't have to do it anymore. We just use the comments. No, but I think it'll be interesting. So, but we're going to start off. Did I say that right? Off.
Yes.
Now it sounds weird because I said it three times. Off.
I did that with bowl one time and got to a point where I couldn't say the word bowl because it sounded.
That's
really
a weird. The W L C. Okay.
L's freak you out.
Personal story, real quick. The reason I go by Dan is because I can't make that Yule sound very easily.
Daniel.
Yule. It's kind of a Y-U-L-L. Daniel.
Yeah, but then.
Oh, that's also why I say it really odd.
It sounds like you're saying Yule time. You just need to put the tongue on the roof of your mouth, like right in front of your, right behind your front teeth.
Daniel.
and just like tap
it's, it's
twice.
Very odd.
Lol.
Not is my name is not Dan Lowell.
Daniel. Yol.
But so that's why
arch the tongue into Dan into a behind the teeth.
Yeah,
tap.
But see, I can't roll my tongue either. So
I can't either. But
I mean, I don't know that my name requires it. Oh man! All right, let's jump in. We're going to be in Hebrews. We're going to start at least in Hebrews 10:25. I'm reading. Yes, I got it right. I'm reading. You're praying. Get over it.
I just wanted to see if you would interrogate yourself. Like, but do I? Yes, no. Yes, yes, no. I can't handle the truth.
I'll ask the questions here. I'll answer the questions here.
I can't handle the truth. I don't need this.
That's basically what I do. Like what I yell in the mirror as I'm getting ready in the morning. All right. Hebrews 10:25. Actually, we're going to jump up to 24 because 25 is just a segment of a sentence there. let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We've actually talked about this scripture before. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching.
There we go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the church and what it means to you, Lord, And in all honesty, the gathering together of the church body, Lord, with the church bodies together, you say you are also there, Lord. Let us never forsake that, never forget the reason why we have church, Lord. We hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
That was a good prayer.
You
weren't saying it. You never compliment me.
Good grief. This got personal.
I was saying, there might be some other issues, not the prayer.
So I don't know how to segue out of that. I'm stuck.
So the church.
Yeah. No, so there's a unique opportunity here, I think, and this is part of why I wanted to talk about today. Believe it or not, despite my toddler appearance, Drew and I are not the same age.
No one would have guessed
Drew
that.
And I are not even close to the same age.
The amount of white in your beard is significant.
Here's the thing. I've had that for almost 10 years now. Like, and that. So that, Drew, are you okay with us revealing our ages? Are you that? So
do you know my age?
I have a roundabout guess.
Okay.
You're under 30.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm guessing 27.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
It was crazy.
Right.
How many people don't know my age that like should know my age? Number one, the person that runs that club of not knowing Drew's age is my dad. The day I turned 18, he stopped knowing and stopped caring. Literally, I'm anywhere from 29 to 18.
So I'm older than 27.
Not by much.
I'm 28. No, I am
74.
I am 14 years older than you, man. I am 41 years old. Yeah. Yeah. How old am I? Like, that's scary. Now I'll tell you the same thing I tell my wife. Make me a same. No. No, that's not.
And now he's single.
Oh man! No, I'll tell you the same thing I tell my wife when I'm talking to you. Though I always think we're the same age. Like I just.
It's because I'm so mature.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No, I think that goes the other direction for me. That says more about me than
you. Wait, so you're calling your wife immature? I think no, you should have went with my answer here, bud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't be both mature. Yeah, because this is a dangerous episode.
As soon as you brought up your wife, it was downhill.
I need somewhere to stay for the next couple of nights, guys. I just, so we're actually different generations. And so I think it'll be interesting for us to talk about the internet and how we consume content on the internet, especially related to church.
I would say my generation is the first generation.
Do you know what generation you belong to? I can't think.
So you want the technical answer?
Yeah,
or
technical.
Like, so like technically, I'm like a millennial. That's what everyone says. Okay. But if you go off the graph that the scientists made, I'm like whatever the next one after millennial.
Yeah, I was about to
the
say,
cutoff is 96
like
to
97. Right, yeah,
the cutoff was 96 to 97. But I'm like really early 97.
We kind of sit in the same position, so I'm right between.
Is it Gen X?
I'm right between Gen X and Millennial. Yeah. You're right between Millennial and Gen Z.
Yeah. But like, I would classify myself more as Gen X. I mean, not Gen X, Millennial, because I'm early.
Yeah.
Early 97.
Yeah.
And my wife is 96. My friends are 90. Like,
And like, I grew up, my parents were much older. They had kind of very traditional ways. So I grew up probably more like a Gen Xer than a millennial.
Yeah.
It was very humbling, I will say real quick, and then we'll jump in. It was very humbling to find out I was a millennial after making a lot of jokes about millennial hipsters and all of that. I got all of the bad part of being a millennial with none of the coolness whatsoever. Like, I'm still old. So I think it's interesting because obviously different age groups interact
and,
with the internet.
And my generation is really the first generation that, like, a significant portion of our childhood,
yes,
the internet was, yes, a factor. Because the internet was around when you were a kid, but it was a factor when I was.
It didn't hit me until, like, literally the last 2 years of high school,
yeah,
was when we had dial-up internet in my house.
And see, I can remember. I
didn't
have
a cell phone until I got married.
I had an iPod in fifth grade.
Yeah. See, there was, yeah.
And, like, the internet was still new, but it was a factor in my life.
I was riding around with my CD player, my Walkman CD player, hoping it wouldn't skip if I hit a bump on my bike. Like, it was,
new song.
And I only had, I only had, like, four CDs. So it was either, like, the three stations that I could pick up on it, or one of my four CDs, which was mostly Audio Adrenaline and DC Talk. That was
love
it.
That.
So, yeah, love is a verb, okay? As a hit.
Let me guess. You look like we're a band kind of guy.
Yes, yes.
Bro, he's just jamming out.
So here's my question. What would you say to someone, and I have to be completely honest, I'm actually stealing this from a course I'm taking right now, but it's a great discussion. What would you say to somebody who said, real meaningful spiritual growth, as in, you know, what you would typically find in a physical church, cannot happen in an online faith community?
I will say cannot is wrong.
Okay.
It's the wrong
okay.
word.
Okay.
Incredibly hard.
Okay.
Is a better word that fits there. Because, no, like, you can, I could go on YouTube and, mm-hmm, and watch all these courses that make me theologically deep. I can sit there, and I've had times where I listen to David Platt on, like, the radio.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not there, but I feel, you know, I feel what the emotion he's trying to project and get it. But more often than not, I get nothing from it.
Like, okay, listen. Yeah. Like, you're consuming the information, and to some degree, if you're like me, some of that gets internalized and processed and all that, and becomes part of your knowledge base and all of that. But it rarely, and I think this is what you're getting at, it rarely is kind of life-changing. Like, it rarely really takes you to a different place than where you were when you started.
Yeah. Like, off the top of my head, I think there's two sermons of David Platt that I've listened to.
Now, you mentioned,
as a podcast,
you,
like, they have done
that.
That.
So in your examples, you're hitting podcast, YouTube, that kind of stuff. So what if we expand it to the rest of social media? Like, if I'm part of a Bible study group on Facebook or prayer group on Facebook, and now I'm going to preface this by saying not connected to a local church, okay? I'm just saying, like, a bunch of randos in there.
See, with
common goal.
My trepidation with that,
ooh,
is, yeah, no,
I like it.
Is like a bunch of randos. You're not tied into a church, and so me sitting in Bible study with people I don't know theologically, okay, where they stand.
Okay,
I couldn't take anything from it because I'm the type, I'm gonna go in questioning everything.
Okay,
like, from what stance are you coming at,
yeah,
this? Because,
yeah, okay,
people can sound theologically smart in this one aspect, and then all of a sudden you're talking to them 2 weeks later about a different thing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, you don't know anything.
I didn't realize you were crazy.
Yeah. And so
in
those situations with randoms,
yeah,
I would think, yes, it would be false. Like, you
okay.
couldn't. It would be impossible. But if it was tied into a church, like, there was an admin who I knew,
right?
And I knew
right.
where they
if
stood.
If it had a local time,
and I would say, and they're the ones who kind of allowed people to come. It wasn't just like a public
yeah.
Facebook, because there's
okay.
a bunch of weird people out
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
that, you know, hey, look, Jesus is coming
they're
back.
Trolling.
I saw Bigfoot 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah, that
yeah.
kind of stuff. Yeah,
and like, okay, well, you know, solar eclipse is happening. Guess what? God's coming back.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like, that's where you get those.
Yeah,
and so I'm kind of in those situations. I'm
okay.
more cautious, which means I take less away because I take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
and kind of
yeah.
do my own internalization of what they're saying and kind of just say, is this helpful? Is this right? Is this wrong? Or are they on crack? You know,
okay.
What situation am I in here?
All right. So I want to tie it back to the scripture we just read. So I want to read it one more time. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So there's a purpose there. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. There's more purpose. And so much more as you see the day approaching. And so here's a question, but I'm going to let you know up front, a trick question. Was he talking about meeting in person?
Repeat it.
So when he talks about the assembling of ourselves together, is he talking about, is that in a physical space?
I mean, I haven't.
Don't overthink it.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, because how else would they meet? Perfect. They had, you know, at this point, it was that.
Pigeons.
Yeah, like, but no, so, and we're going, so you're kind of alluding to letters. We'll talk about letters in a minute, too.
Kind of.
Yeah. No. Well, I don't know. Maybe they just had pet pigeons that were not able to carry letters. I don't know. Yeah, and then it's kind of a recorder. They open their beak and you hear the message. But no, so obviously in any... And this is kind of the logic fault that people fall into. They say, well, they don't mention any of that in the Bible. Well, yeah, they don't mention cars either, you dingus, because they weren't there.
And then we got into our Ford 1500, and we went and watched a crucifixion, baby. Yeah, girl.
I mean, obviously they don't, but... There's a reason for that. Yeah.
We went and got the diesel yesterday, all 12 disciples and Jesus got the diesel and rode on down to the creek.
Thou shalt not forsake the email chain. I mean, like, no, obviously.
Thou shalt not forget not to tip.
Yeah.
Tip the cab driver here.
So first of all, I want to say.
Peter and John arguing over who tips the cab driver.
But I want to say, those that argue against it and use that logic, yes, you're technically correct, but there's other reasons for that. But I want to, Drew, if you'll turn real quick to...
I'll turn.
1 Corinthians 12, and it sounds like a lot, but 12 through 27. It'll go fast if you read quick.
Well,
1 Corinthians 12 through 27.
Are you sure it's
facts? Yeah, yeah. Why are you... 1 Corinthians 12 through 27. You see the word body in there.
That is a lot.
All right.
Let me read the whole thing, all 15 verses. Yeah. All right, here goes the next 30 minutes.
Where you finish?
Here goes the next 30 minutes. All right. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body, being many, are one body.
Boom.
So also
you can,
is
you
Christ.
Right,
you told me to read. I'll wait. I was about to speed up.
No, that it contained everything we need to right there. So read that first verse one more time.
For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Drew, where is every part of your body?
In my body.
What? What? The correct answer is in one place.
Yeah, it's in my body. Place. It's one place.
But your body's not in your body. Your
yes,
body
it
is your body.
Yes, it is.
The parts are, organs, yes.
No, like skin is an organ too.
My fingers aren't in my body.
Your bones are.
Oh, good grief, man. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman over here.
Don't question me.
So again, does that mean that in order for real spiritual growth to be part of a church community, I the only option is to be there in person?
Kind of a trick question, I mean...
No, the other one's a trick question.
Technically, yes.
Okay. All right. According to this, this
script, I'm not going to. I don't question scripture. So yeah, I mean.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying we're solely basing it on the scripture we just read. Okay. So, does that mean, man? I'm asking questions left and right.
I know it's just
because I like seeing your journey here. Does that mean that churches should not invest their time and resources into online communities or online, you know, I mean, the Goose of Grace is a great example. Should Marion pull the plug on it? Probably, but for other reasons. But should the church not provide online resources, provide online, you know, streaming services for their worship services? If we're supposed to be in body together,
So you want my long answer?
Yeah, yeah.
So in context.
Yeah, yeah.
In context, you need the online resource. You need stuff like this because it's not to take the place of church, but it is there that in case of vacation, in case of hospital visits, yep. in case of sickness, in case of whatever, yep. that you can't make it to the actual building, you can still stay connected. Yep. But the moment you wake up one morning, one Sunday morning, fully healthy, fully ready to go, just feeling yep. lazy.
And say, I don't like, really see a reason I have to be there.
That is when it becomes a hindrance.
Yep. yep. All right. So you just hit on the main thing that I want to stick with for the rest of this. So
thank goodness.
So much
fishing for a long time.
So much of the conversation says, you know, one way or the other, 100%. So it says either, hey, I don't need to be there in person. This is the 21st century. I can church online. Okay, it's weird using church as a verb, but it's I've seen it more and more, and I guess it rubbed off on me a little bit. Or no, the internet as Bobby Boucher's mom would say, the internet is a devil, you know, and so, like, don't do anything on the internet. You guys need to be off of social media because social media is rotting the kids' brains, yada, yada, yada. So what I come across, and I'm going to prove this biblically, there is an argument that both are necessary, okay? Or I'll put it this way. I won't even say necessary because I think if you do not have the online component, if you only go to traditional church, if the spiritual needs are being met there and if you are worshiping there in the way that we are designed to, you could get by just fine without the online part.
Yeah, but
you're missing something.
I'm going to say you're missing a ministry.
Yes, but you could get by. I'm talking about as the person, not as a church. The church needs to be online. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. But for the congregation member, you're missing some things by not engaging online. But I wouldn't say they're core things that you have to have.
Yeah, you're just missing PowerPoint.
PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But here's why I say that. So, and here's how I'm going to prove it. Paul.
We're going to run an experiment.
Yes, yes. This is in 8 more days. We're going to come back and tell you what we found. No. What we have of Paul's writings are what? What form do they take? They're writings that were sent to somebody known as a...
Essay.
Letter.
I knew what you were looking for, but I was just being defiant.
I could see it in your face that you knew.
I was just being defiant.
You're going to make me stroke out here. That was distance communication that was great for church instruction, for encouragement. And so that's what online communication, online faith communities are, is a way to reach people who are beyond our physical reach. And I would say for the average congregation member that is also attending local church, it is a great way to communicate with people who are not, like, we're in a small town, man. There's a lot of
space between neighbors.
Well, yeah, but there's also a lot of...
I can't read your mind, man. Just spit it out.
It can be kind of a closed-off community, intellectually, spiritually, all that kind of stuff.
Mainly because if you go outside of Chatham, you don't have service.
So it can expand your worldview of, like, what Christians in other areas experience and things like that, because they have very different experiences than we may have. It's also a great way to see what they have in common. But it is not a substitute for meeting at your local church in person to be part of that body of Christ. Let's go back to what you were saying as far as, you know, it needs to be a ministry. The digital part of it needs to be a ministry for a church. Go ahead.
I think the key, though, we need to preface before we go into that is the fact that it is a ministry.
Yes, that's why I was getting ready to go.
It's not the church. It is a ministry. Yeah. Just like you know, we go to Savannah, the Savannah Baptist Center. They have a ministry there that deals with giving clothes.
We don't say, well, let's shut down the church. Yeah. We're going to Savannah instead. Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah, going to Savannah's ministry, that's not what, like, when we leave Savannah, we're not like, okay, let's prepare. Let's start the preparation for next year. And we just, that's all we do.
Yeah.
We meet on Sundays. We prepare for Savannah. It. That's all we do. We don't talk about God. We don't do anything except Savannah Baptist Center. No, that's not it. It's a ministry.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it probably like once a month, six months out, you know, and just have a couple meetings and then get everybody signed up. And then we go. It's the same thing with church, with online. It's not the church. It is
it's
ministry.
It's an extension of what's happening within the church, within that church body. So it's a natural extension.
It's to connect from us the outside.
Obedient. Yeah.
And members who are not present to the church.
Well, and the other thing I want to hit on, so that's what made me think of this. So you mentioned, you know, absolutely, people who are not able to come, they can listen. People who, you know, there have been times I've listened to, this is really weird, since I'm on the pod, episodes of like Mosaic of Mary a couple months later because I wanted to see, like, I knew we talked about a certain subject and I wanted to like study up on that subject. So they're great resources. The other thing that I really push this as a ministry and why churches should be involved, and I'm not talking about like, it doesn't have to be a huge involvement. I'm talking about just maybe like somebody's got their phone camera out and they're recording or streaming the service, things like that, is because 90%+ of people who don't have a church, when they move into a community, where are they checking? They're checking Facebook, they're checking YouTube, they're checking social media to see if there are churches out there that they want to try out if they're new in the area, or if, you know, I don't want to say meet their needs, because I'll say that. Now, that's not the only goal of church is to glorify God, but let's be honest, when a new person comes into the community, they're looking for, you know, if they've got kids, they're looking for youth ministry. Well, they've got, you know, all of that.
And I think a key is it also opens up doors to people who would never set foot in the building.
Yep.
But want to see what the church is about before they do.
Now, here's the thing, and this is where I'll
because, in my experience, you know, as being the pastor of New Vision, I've had more people come up to me, and rather saying, "Hey, this is my first time, and I loved it," saying, "Hey, I've been listening to you for a month, online, and I just could not wait to get in the building."
Yeah, and that's the thing. So there's a push out there that you can separate the two and that you can have a completely online church. And the advice that keeps being given is to not try to replicate the in-person with the online. So they're saying, don't post your sermon. Don't post. And here's the thing. Here's the problem I have with that. Here's their argument first. First of all, they're saying, you're just trying to get them to come to church. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I always say it. People say, you ain't worried about numbers. By God, I am. Because that's the dumbest thing. You're just worried about numbers. You're right, I'm worried about numbers. Yeah. I'm trying to get people in heaven. Yeah. I don't care about the numbers of the church. I'm trying to get people to heaven.
So yes, absolutely, I'm trying to get them to the church. Second of all, they say, well, they could go out. They can see any church they want to. Why are they going to watch yours? They won't unless they're seeking a connection. See, I can watch anything, whether it be, you know, streaming whatever church or, you know, whatever shows out there. I can watch NCIS all day long. I don't feel a connection. I'm not like, man, I really want to get out there into NCIS and work. No, it's entertainment. I ignore it and I go about my life unchanged. But that's not the goal of the church. And so what it should do is always point to, I mean, everything we post at Marion is either a sermon that for either, right, part of the ministry that for people who can't make it, but also hoping to draw people in that they say, man, that was a message that really meant something to me. I want more of that. I'm coming to church. Or it's things that invite people to church directly, like, hey, we're having this event. Come on.
Can I be real for just a second?
Be real.
And I'm a hard advocate for streaming services and having that online presence because it gets people connected.
Mm-hmm.
But you find somebody who is fully devoted to a TV show they watch that's completely
different. Yeah.
Like, for example, you. Like, I love my wife to death. She loves Stranger Things. That's her favorite show in the world.
Yeah.
A month ago, I was in Georgia. going to see where they filmed it because she wanted to get so engrossed into it. Yeah. She wanted to be where the actors were and just be there and see everything for her own eyes.
Yep.
How come so many Christians want to do the opposite and get as far away from the church as possible?
Man, that's really good. I don't want to end up there, though.
Exactly. It's because you don't get engrossed. Yeah. You know, you come to this, you come to the church to get engrossed into the community, just get fully like and just enveloped by the community. You see these people; they'll drive 1,200 miles to watch a baseball game, to watch a basketball game, watch a sporting event,
see an eclipse,
see an eclipse, see where they film something because they want to get completely and utterly involved in this TV show. They want to be where they filmed. They want to be where their sports hero, you know, hit or shot a basketball, done all this, but Lord help us going to church. We would rather pluck our eyebrows out, you know, so we're like, I can't go. I can't sit there for an hour. Yeah. You sat there for 4 hours Saturday watching a bunch of 8-year-olds run into each other on a football field, and you're like, oh my goodness, go, son. And
he's going to be pro.
You are willing to cuss out another parent because their kid was running just a hair too hard. He did it on purpose. But you come to church and you're like, I hate this. This is horrible.
Yep.
All you're doing is you're outside during football season. I don't care what you say. You're outside in the heat because with Little League football and Little League football, it's in August and September.
Yep.
It's heat. You sit out there in the heat, uncomfortable, getting sunburned. You are in a padded pew.
Yeah.
You are in an AC. No, what you don't like is getting your feelings hurt because when you're sitting at home, when the pastor gets personal, you can just hit that off button and you're completely away from it. But no, when you get here, you're so scared he's going to say something that might actually make you feel something.
This is the man that told me he thought I was going to get fired up today.
Well, it's so frustrating because you get all these people that are like, I get just the same. No, you don't. No. Because when he starts preaching to you is the moment you say, I'm done, and you change the channel. Yeah. You take it off of TV. You do whatever you got to do. And trust me, again, I'm one. Yes. Guess what? Yeah. June 1st, I'm going on vacation. June 2nd, I'm watching New Vision Baptist Church. I'm watching a friend of mine, Seth Hammock, preach.
Yeah.
From where I am. And it's not because I don't want to be there. It's because I'm on vacation. Yeah. But I'm still going to be up. I am for it. It's 100% necessity. But people use it as an excuse because they don't want to get better. Yeah. They don't want to do what the bottom line is, and that's be more like Christ.
And again, here's the thing. And then we get, man, golly, I should have made this two-part. You know, people say, well, I can get the same thing out. Here's the thing. You really can't.
It's a two-parter. I mean, I got
all right,
more.
All right. All right. We'll come back to it. But I want to hit on this real quick. Here's the thing. Let's be honest. God's people are not perfect. Okay. We mess up. And I love this. I think your dad said the moment you think you found a perfect church, join it. It's not going to be perfect anymore.
Even thinking about joining it,
we're imperfect. And so we can get our feelings hurt, but it has to do with where your heart is. If you come into worship looking for ways to get offended, looking for well, this person did this or that person did that, you're going to leave feeling very unfulfilled because, first of all, you didn't prepare. If you're coming in, I guarantee you didn't prepare for worship. Then you didn't worship because you had nothing to bring because you didn't prepare for worship. And then you're going to complain that, oh, it must be on the pastor. The pastor didn't preach it right. I didn't really get anything out of it. Oh, the music, they messed. Dan Amos can't hit a note with nothing. I agree, but that shouldn't ruin your worship because I'm not
and also,
in place of you.
Every sermon ain't going to make you weep.
Yeah.
Sometimes sermons are just educational.
Are you just looking for emotion? Yeah.
Yeah. Some sermons, I'll admit it, some sermons I get on stage like, whew. Like a teacher. And like you begin to say it, and you're like, I am really just teaching. And that's cool because they're learning because you're not going in.
Scripture is good for instruction and correction.
You're not going in every Sunday saying, I need to get saved this Sunday. No, you need to grow.
Yeah.
You've already been saved. You've already had that little, oh, I love Jesus moment. Learn more about him now. Like,
But the, and so if you go into it that way and you get nothing out of it, then you know what? I'll say this. You probably can get the exact same thing out of online, watching online stream, because you're going to get nothing out of both.
Well,
that's why people get upset, because it points to where their heart is. It's where you spend your time and where you put your effort reveals where your heart is.
If you're just going, I mean, if you come into church, you stand up, you don't sing, and there are a lot of people who don't sing, and then when the pastor starts, you just stare at him blankly, yeah. and it's obvious when you do. People think they can get away with it. No, when you're staring blankly and when you're staring intently, those are two different looks.
I wonder which one of the two places in town to eat on I'm going to go to after
yeah,
this.
I mean, like you're focused on everything else. You're focused on what you're doing after. You're focused on how much longer the pastor's going to preach.
Yeah.
You're focused on, do I go to the bathroom? Do I sit here? Do I go get a mint? Can I go get a mint? Is that okay if I go get a mint? You're focused on everything yeah. else. You're focused on hey, I wonder what Bubba Joe over there is doing.
Yeah. I'm going to make a statement about that, because I see where you're going. I want to sum it up real quick, and it's this: if you're going about it that way, you're not part of a congregation of worshipers or a family of worshipers. You've turned yourself into an audience
and a hindrance.
And you can be I like that word too. And you can be an audience at home in front of your TV.
Yep.
That's why you say you can get the same thing out of it. All right. Final thought. Use this as your final thought. Can you use this as your final thought?
No, this is not my final thought.
Hit it, go.
This will be real quick.
All right.
The problem, the reason so many Christians, though, see Sunday morning as they are an audience yeah. is because we have it's become a production. Sunday morning has become a production. Yeah. There are people who Woo! Punt the Bible.
Yes.
There was a stripper.
Yes.
On a male stripper at a men's conference.
Yes.
What the world? What the world? Like, it has become...
Yeah. We got people jumping on trampolines wearing
yeah,
VR
it's
sets.
It's an entertainment now.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh,
so it's 50-50. It's 50% on the congregation for not being smart enough to realize I shouldn't be getting fed this way. I need to be getting fed another way. And then it's 50% on the pastor saying, what am I allowing my church to do?
How? Because here, why do you
Part
have,
two.
Now you're going to be
Part
set
two.
Up.
Now right. getting them excited.
But here's why.
Getting them excited.
Here's why. There's a difference in what people are saying about, you know, you're talking about people saying, oh, it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game, but when do you count it? The pastor who is biblical.
Blah, blah, blah.
counts the
when
numbers.
When the pastor is blah, 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 blah.
Counts the numbers of people who have accepted Christ and repented and have entered into a relationship with Christ. The pastor who is looking really for pride counts the numbers of who's in the seats. Now, we care about who's in the seats only because if they're not here, we can't lead them to the next step. Well, but for them, it ends at
the seats. And they're saying pastors, they'll baptize 38 a Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be the same 20 as
and there'll be
before.
No church growth whatsoever.
And
they'll
check
them.
There's no discipleship.
Yep.
But my final thought is right, simple. You're not at church to be entertained. You're not a Christian to be entertained. You're there to learn more about your Creator and grow closer to Him and be more like Him. Do it.
Nike endorsement. mine is just that. Look, the internet's a tool like anything else. I mean, I can use a hammer to build a house. I can use a hammer to break into somebody's car. I mean, I wouldn't. I'm just saying, I'm not admitting anything.
I'm just glad you didn't do my thing. Apparently, when I preach, my two sins are you either tell a white lie about stealing a cookie or you straight up murder somebody. Murder.
Well, that was my go-to is I use a hammer to murder somebody.
That's the only two sins I talk about, straight up. And I don't know why. I cannot not. Like, I was like, I'm going to say different sins today.
There's no adultery or lie. Everybody's just killing folks.
Yeah. I think I was like, murder. Or someone. I don't know why I keep going here, guys.
But no, seriously, the internet, we've been given this tool. The minds that came up with it were created in God's image. We've been given this tool to be able to spread the gospel. And that's what we're going to get into next week is the Great Commission, how that applies.
Not next week.
Why not?
We said part two.
Part two's next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said next week. I thought that was part two. Is we're going to talk about how the Great Commission comes into the social media and all of that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, I'm still connected.
You said the Great Commission. I'm like, okay, all right. But screw the part two, guys.
But it has to be used in a particular way or else you're wasting time. All right. You're praying, dude. Don't mess with me.
I just see how long you would go with letting me silent. All right, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. And thank you for the church and how you intend it to be, Lord. Let us get back to that and not use a ministry that is useful to us as a crutch to get out of true, authentic worship, Lord. Be with us, Lord, and keep us safe. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's a great day to have a great day. So have a great day.
You kind of said the first part like somebody's grandpa, huh?